So, church community, Apostles' Teaching, part 2. Acts 2:42, New Living Translation, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the Word of God, to the Bible. I remember, what did you do? Did you hit your mother? Boy, did they get into a heck of a fight there, Jerry? Staying out. So anyway, that's all on tape. Hi out there. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. I remember, I was reflecting during worship. I remember when I got my first Bible. Okay? Didn't have one growing up. I was in California. Okay? It was part of my storied past. I was living with a woman. And for whatever reason, she decided to give me a Bible. She was no more a believer than I was a believer. And why she gave me the Bible, I still have no idea, other than it was a God thing. And I still have it. But it's always been important to me. And I know it's important to you all as believers. So that's why the believers are devoted. And remember how it starts out, all believers, all were devoted. Every follower of Jesus. And that word devoted, just to remind us from a couple of weeks ago, means to be constant to one, to be continuous looking into, to be steadfastly attentive to something that is significant and important. See, we're called as believers, as followers of Jesus, as Christians, of whatever you want to do. And I refrain from using that term Christians from time to time, even though it's a biblical word, first came up in Antioch. But It's become like a world religion, okay? And we need to reclaim it, actually, is what we need to do. But we are all called to take our eyes off of ourselves and the things of this world and to put them on the beauty of our God, to gaze on Him, and not just to gaze on Him, but to gaze upon Him in a manner to where we are trusting in Him and waiting on Him, the triune God. So we can see what He has done. So what He's doing in our lives, what He's done in our lives, so what He's doing individually and collectively, so we know what He's doing in our lives now and what He's going to do in our lives in the future. See, we're called to walk in that understanding, in that realization that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing that deserves our attention more than the things of God is laid out in Scripture. We were praying Friday night at prayer here after a day of prayer and fasting. And I'm going to quote Brenda. And this is her attitude about it all. I'm in. That's what she kept saying over and over. I'm in. I'm in. See, another way you can put it, this may seem kind of harsh, she didn't say it this way, but I think we can put it this way. If we are devoted, we are willing to lay our lives down for this message, for this God, for Jesus, for the triune God, for Holy Spirit. And again, because I want to remind us, because it's so easy to wander down the path, it's not a checklist. It's not a, I got to do this. It's not a, I'm in trouble with God or the pastor if I'm not doing this. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's all the devotion is something. Remember how we talked about last week how it's complicated, and I was glad to hear the gentleman from Bethel even saying it was complicated, so I didn't feel, it made me feel a little brighter. But devotion is really the fruit that flows from a believer's heart. Last week we started looking into benefits that comes to devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching, that comes with reading the Word of God, that comes with the Bible. We must understand some things. That, first off, that there are many things about God to understand. I mean, how often have you heard me say, and it's still apropos, is when I 2 years owned the Lord, I had Him 95-96% figured out. Can anybody identify with that besides me, or was I the only arrogant one? But now, when I'm walking in the 46th year of my salvation, Now it's 1 × 10⁻⁷. And continuing to drop rapidly. And yet I know so much more about him. But yet it seems like I'm just scratching. Imagine the planet Earth, and we're just scratching a little bit there because all the rest of it is still to be known about this amazing God. And that's one of the wonderful things about heaven is we'll spend eternity, and every time we see him, we'll go, wow, I never saw that before, because he's so huge and so amazing. As we grow in this understanding of who he is, as we grow in the understanding of his word, that what happens is that gives us tools that we can use to live the life that he has called us to walk. See, the Bible helps us. Remember last week we talked about benefits of the apostles' teaching were first and foremost Jesus. And yeah, God the Father, Holy Spirit, but we had talked about them earlier, several weeks before that. Scripture is the primary way God speaks to us. Deliverance and healing come through the Word of God. And it's through the apostles' teaching that our minds are transformed. So what we're going to do this week, we're going to look at some more benefits, I think another five or so. First one is we find out about Holy Spirit and how we are filled and can be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5, verses 18 to 21. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Okay, each one of these points, I am fully aware that I could do one to maybe two to three teachings on each one. But I believe as I've spent time before the Lord, he wants to see the big picture of the importance of the Word of God. I remember when I became a believer and I had this Bible that this woman who wasn't a believer gave to me who wasn't a believer, and I'm looking at it and I'm going, I have no clue what's in here. No clue. But it's the Word of God, and I believe it. And it's been an adventure for 46 years to just scratch and scratch and scratch and find out more and more. And if you're like me in your journey, I've kind of gone like this. Coming back to things I rejected and then rejecting them again and coming back to them again and just growing. I mean, do you see what the similarity of when we talk about these things here? The Holy Spirit and so forth, and what we talked about over time, and especially the teachings. Remember the couple of teachings I did on the Holy Spirit, I don't know, it was 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, it was back in March, I believe. Could be off a little bit. The truth is, we need to be a people that walks in the radical middle. Now, again, what is the radical middle? It's solid doctrine and theology and the Spirit. And somehow or another, they work together. Two men that have been especially prominent in my life and walking in that way is John Wimber and Terry Virgo. Because both of them, Terry Virgo's from Brighton, England. John Wimber, of course, lived in California, started the Vineyard Movement. Terry Brighton started the, what is it called, Chris? New Frontiers International, who had churches virtually all around the world. But they helped me to understand the value of both. You know, and as you look at, and if you look at Christian history, you can get off to the right or you get off to the left, but you want to stay in the middle. You want to stay in the middle. And the Word of God, the apostolic teachings, is the basis and the anchor for it all. We need both of them to help us to walk the walk, to run the race set before us, to be all that God has called us to be, to become more and more like Jesus. See, we need the Word of God, and we need the Holy Spirit to lead us to, you know, as he talks about, in to abide in Jesus, the things Jesus talked about, that to lead us in all truth, to help us to build the church, to help us to build the kingdom. We need a daily diet of the Word of God and ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit. Need Him. Need Him. Because it helps us to live the life in the conscious presence of Jesus. And there's no better way to walk out the kingdom of God than in the conscious presence of Jesus. I mean, just think, we're here in this momentary time, and we have eternity, that we are going to be very much so in the conscious presence of Jesus, and now we get to practice it. It's important because we want the mind of Christ to dominate every thought and every action. And it's like we talked about a couple weeks ago. It's about this banquet. Remember the food and then this banquet that God has laid out for us that is so superior to it? We want to eat of that constantly, incessantly. We must be those that constantly get into the Word of God, always giving thanks to God for everything. We must be those that listen to and study the apostles' teaching. Again, it's complicated, but again, it's not because we have to. One more thing we have to check off the checklist. Yes, I got my 3 chapters in this morning, or 1 chapter, or I read 5 verses, or whatever it is. No, it's because we have this heart that we want to know the triune God. We want to know what He's about. It's a heart thing. And as we do, as we get into the Scriptures, it's like being filled with the Spirit over and over and over and over again. That's why we're to be Bereans. I'm just, you know, we use that all the time, but it comes from Acts 17:11, New Living Translation. And the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, which is interesting because we're going through on Thursday night, 1 Thessalonians, we're in chapter 5 now. And they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the Scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. Just a rabbit trail thought, but that's why I think it's important to take notes. That's why I always take notes. I don't even remember what I talked about last week. Okay? And how can I put on my Berean hat? This is an encouragement, an exhortation. How can I put on my Berean hat if I don't have notes to remind me? And I'm not talking about notes like taking a college test, but just those little things that the Holy Spirit goes, yeah, yeah. You know, it's like those times when people come up to me and say, "Boy, I really loved it when you talked about this," and I'm going, "Didn't talk about that." But it just reminded them of something. And if you look at my notes, oftentimes there'll be things in there that the person didn't say, but it just reminded me. The Holy Spirit would remind me of things. So I'll get off that horse, but it's important, I think. Because the Spirit itself helps us understand and walk according to the Scripture. That's why we need these fillings of the Spirit. As we are filled with the Holy Spirit over and over, He will bring back to remembrance that which He has spoken to us. That's what it says at John 14:26. Again, the New Living Translation. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. And a lot of times He does that through the Word of God. And the beauty of that, that helps us to minister to one another, to edify, to encourage, strengthen, to build up, to walk with each other, to even point out sin in each other's lives in a loving manner. I say in a loving manner. And it can often be done, even as this Scripture talks about, through addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, among other things, as well as the other thing is, of course, as well as to be able to share the gospel with those who don't know the Lord. And again, that's where our stories come in. I can tell you this. My witnessing has been so much more effective when I've told them my firsthand story than when I've shared with them John 3:16 or 4 spiritual laws or whatever. More people have come to know the Lord that way than me beating them over the head. Just something to think about. But the whole purpose is to line up with God and the apostles' teaching. As again, as the Scripture says, as we make melodies in our heart to God while always giving thanks for everything he has blessed us with. It's another practice I think is so important, is just to sit down at times and just start thanking him for everything that comes to your mind. Especially those that we might take for granted. All the while learning to submit to one another. Next one is truth is found in the Word of God. Proverbs 30, verses 5 to 6. Again, staying with the New Living Translation. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. The Word of God is true. It's true. That has to be our bottom line. It breaks my heart. I was watching, talking to somebody the other day, and I was hearing about a person, whether it's in this town or someplace else, is inconsequential. That was preaching stuff that just wasn't true in the Word of God. It just breaks my heart. Now, I'm not talking about where we might have differences in how to interpret this or that, but out and out preaching stuff that is okay that the Bible says is not true. It just breaks my heart. See, the Bible is true and it contains everything we need to run the race that has been set before us because it's truth. Yeah, and God is so gracious that he has provided prophecy. Paul even encourages us to prophesy. And my take on it is as much as anything, if not more. But the trouble with prophecy, it can get us in trouble. And this is just a little sidebar. If you get a prophecy for somebody, I think the first thing you need to fall to is to pray for them. Because God may just be showing you that to pray for them so that they change. But if God says to deliver it to them, then be obedient. But prophecy can never, ever, ever take away or add to apostolic teaching. That's one of the big reasons, and it's a big one, that Paul wants prophecy evaluated. 1 Corinthians 14:29, back to the ESV. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others weigh what is said. And the purpose of that is because what is said, we want to know that it doesn't violate Scripture. It's like what I've said to you before, and I even shared it on Friday night, and I know this seems old hat, but the greatest prophecy that was ever given to me, far and away. It's like put it at the 100% mark, and every other prophecy is down around the 20% mark. Is when Mel Davis, a prophet from Vancouver, Canada, says to me, God showed me the book and there's nothing written against you. That is so scripturally valid and solid. And so it's important that what we know is being said, that we put on our Berean hats and we take what was said and we go to the scriptures. Now, if you don't agree, that doesn't mean you have a license to go back to the person and give the word and to bang them upside the head and tell them to repent and fall on their knees before God, you know. But I can assure you that Terry and I, when somebody gives a word in here, we're listening very careful. And there's only one time I ever had to publicly correct a person. It's a couple of times I talked to people afterwards because it wasn't really that big of a deal. But it's important that it's true and that it lines up with the scriptures. That it's his word, that it's his truth, that it goes with the apostolic teaching. See, here's the truth. God wants us to have the truth, only the truth, and nothing but the truth. And that can be difficult in today's world. Go ask somebody, a non-believer, what is truth? It's interesting, some of the answers you get. I played that game. So what do you think is truth? Well, that's not what that person thinks is truth. It really boils down to truth is whatever I think it is, and it's fine. I don't care what anybody else thinks. They always put in the thing, as long as it doesn't offend anybody else or hurt anybody else, but they don't really mean that part. based upon my experience anyway. John 14:6, New Living Translation said this, because Jesus is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So we can walk according to his perfect will, according to how we were designed to walk. The next one, the word exposes error. Matthew 22:29, out of the ESV, but Jesus answered them, you are wrong. I think that doesn't need a whole lot of interpretation, pretty clear. Because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. See, we can be wrong. Who here has heard, it says in the Bible, God helps those who help themselves. Has anybody, I mean, honestly, has anybody heard that besides me? Just three of us? Four of us? Five of us? Some of us just don't want to raise our hands? Or what's some of the other popular ones? You know, I mean, people say things that just aren't in the Word of God. I remember the first time my mother quoted that to me, and I went, wow. And then I went back to her later and said, Mom, it's not in the Word of God. She wasn't very happy with me. Probably was because of my attitude and how I shared it with her, but anyway, young believer, okay. But we can be wrong if we don't know the scriptures, the power of God. We can be deceived if we don't know the scriptures. I mean, what happened in Matthew 4 when Jesus went up into the mountain to fast and pray for 40 days? Satan came and used scripture to try to deceive him. And how did Jesus respond? He used scripture correctly. Who here knows and understands that Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light? That's why we know scripture, so we can discern whether what we are hearing or seeing is truly the light, is right. It's why it's so important, and I encourage people to do this all the time, on any particular issue. Even when I got saved, I read some of the stuff on why Jesus was not the Christ. Because I want to know. I want to know. I want to know the truth. And if we only read one thing all the time, I think it makes it difficult to know the truth. That's why maybe I've gone like this. And some of you are going, I don't want to go like that. Because I want to know the truth. I want to get as close to knowing that as possible. So it's important. Because you know what I've found? Even in things I agree with, there's good points. Or disagree with, there's good points. Just something to be thought about. If we know the scriptures, then we will know that God is a God of power. Yes, even today. His word is eternal. The next one, Matthew 24:35, New Living Translation. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. Never. They're eternal. Will never disappear. His word will always, always exist. See, what the apostles taught, we can believe because it's eternal. There's this thing nowadays, and you see it on the college campuses, and you see it in various places, where there's places where people can go so they feel safe. Okay, I'm trying to keep it straight here. So they can be safe. You want to feel safe? Get into the Word of God. His truth, knowing that it will help us to see the truth, but also that it's eternal. It'll make us feel safe. See, his word will never pass away. The things it says will never change. If it will never pass away, that means it will never change. And going back to the thing where it talks about, you know, that we're not to add to or take from. His word is an anchor. It's steadfast. It's something we can hang on to. It's something we can hang our lives to. No matter what's going on around us, no matter what the world is up to, no matter what the world looks like. That's why it's so important to really go after Jesus, because that's preparation. That's the oil in the lamps. That's being ready. That's being the those who got healed and didn't go back, the lepers. We can feel safe no matter what the world looks like, it does or what the world says. Because we know this, because Jesus never changes. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See how it always comes back to Jesus? Why wouldn't it? He's always the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus and his word is always the same. It's eternal. That's why we need in those situations to, when we're tempted to go one way or another, just to say, I don't sense it, I don't feel it, but this is the truth. The word of God is the truth. The next one, the word equips. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. We, as a people, are called, and I believe, called out of this new heart to walk in the truth of the Bible, because Scripture does some things. It equips us. How does it equip us? It equips us to the teaching of the Word by speaking forth the truth. But guess what? It also does through reproof, which is a fancy word for convict, for persuasion. And does it through correction. God corrects those whom he loves. For training in righteousness. Scripture is important. It equips us. Remember the scripture in Revelation 3 about wish you were hot or cold, but because you are, thank you. I will spew you out of my mouth. To me, those are stagnant Christians. Stagnant. They're probably not even Christians, to be honest with you, but we don't want to stagnate. We want to be people that, and I know I'm speaking for each one of us here, to where we grow and we grow and we grow, and we become more and more like Jesus. That as we look back a year or 5 years or 10 years, we'll go, yes, I'm no longer there. And part of it, a great part of it, is because of the Word of God, because it equips us. As it says in the scripture I just read back there in 2 Timothy, because God wants us to be competent and equipped for every good work. I mean, why wouldn't he want that? He loves us. He adores us. He treasures us. He adopts us. He adopted us. See, he wants us to experience salvation, but he doesn't want us to just experience that part of the gospel. He wants us to experience the whole gospel, to experience salvation and all its fruit. He wants us to walk in the wisdom of God. He wants us to succeed as followers of Jesus. He wants us to produce fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold, as talked about in Matthew 13. Remember where the sower sowed the seed? Some fell off the side of the path, some on rocky soil, some in briars and brambles, some on deep soil. He wants us to be those where sowed fell on deep soil to where we did the 30, 60, and 100-fold produced fruit. That's why God breathed out scriptures to us. His scripture, that's what the apostles taught. And what we're talking about is the scripture that was canonized at the Council of Hippo in 393 and Carthage in 397. Not because of man, but because God breathed it out when these group of people came together and he breathed into them and came out with. You know, it's like when Judas Iscariot was gone and they needed the 12th one. Help me out, Bible scholars, the M guy.
Matthias.
Thank you. Who was picked because the other 11 chose to gamble. They cast lots. Gambling. But they knew that as they did that the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God would point to the one that was supposed to be raised up. And Matthias was raised up. Now, you never hear of him again, but Matthias was raised up to be an apostle. See, he breathed it out. All scripture owes its origin and the contents that is within the Word of God to the divine breath of the Spirit of God. Are we seeing the treasure of this apostolic teaching of the Word of God, of the Bible, how significant it is? I can't do it without it. You know, I so appreciate the fact that God gave me the Word, that God gave me the Holy Spirit, that God gave the gifts, that God gave me relationships with you all. But the one that has changed my life the most, though those others have helped, has been reading the Word of God and having the Holy Spirit speak the truth of it to my life. I mean, you all have read through the Bible and you read through the same scripture, and you read it again, and you go, when did he put that in there? I mean, that's happened to me as recently as this past Thursday when I was studying a section of scripture. I went, wow, I never saw that before. So it never gets old, it's always new. It's an amazing banquet full of great spiritual health. That's the benefits that we receive from the apostles' teaching. If the worship team wants to come back up. You want to knock on the glass? I don't know if Chris heard me out there. What an amazing gift the apostles' teaching is. In fact, before you go up there, we're going to do one thing. Can you guys just hang out down here for a second? We're not done. There's thousands of good reasons. I'm not going to go through thousands, but probably got another week maybe. But our role is to allow our new heart and our spirit to take the lead in leading us, not our mind, not the things of this world, not our flesh, to lead us to get into the Bible, to get into God's Word, to study the apostolic teachings. And then all we have to do is sit back, chillax, and watch God change our lives. Because He will. We'll grow, and we'll become more and more and more like Jesus. We're going to have a song here in a few moments and prayer, but I just want to pray for Dan Wykamp. He starts his... Oh, did you stop? Or? Oh, yeah.